Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you are invited to take control of the airwaves. You can talk about whatever is important to you, or you can talk about whatever we happen to be discussing, whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Bonnie.
And coming up, stories that we've had for quite a while that we haven't gotten into for various reasons. Some COVID stuff, which is kind of a refreshing change of pace from talking about the war in Ukraine and the...
Which sounds so weird because for like 2 whole years I was tired of talking about COVID at all.
Yeah, it's still definitely not my favorite subject, but the taboo around discussing COVID in an open and honest way has sort of lifted. And I really appreciate this at my 9-to-5. It's not really a 9-to-5 job because I work a swing shift, but it's my normal job, normal in quotation marks, because nothing that I really do is normal. But it is, relatively speaking, my normal job. And I have to deal with some level of the COVID nonsense that came with all of that, right? Everyone is supposed to be vaccinated. My boss knows I'm not vaccinated, but this is because, and no one challenges me, no one has demanded to see anyone's vaccination paperwork or anything like that at any point in this, but even if they did, they would not ask to see mine because I'm friends with the general manager of the place, right? Like, I'm her assistant manager, but we're like, we're going to Vegas together in like 3 days to celebrate a bachelorette's party with a mutual friend of ours. So it's not your normal boss-employee relationship. So I'm not worried about getting fired for not being vaccinated or being in trouble for not being vaccinated. Besides which, no one has ever asked me point blank if I'm vaccinated ever at any point in this. And that's been kind of nice. And I suspect that's got a lot to do with my influence and sort of a don't ask, don't tell thing.
I mean, it seems like any restaurant wouldn't want to have to fire people at all that do good work. I mean, nobody wants to work right now, so.
That's also a really good point. I mean, and you don't fire, like, you don't fire your golden goose. And not that I'm the golden goose or anything like that, but, you know, you do have tiers of workers. If you got to fire the 16-year-old kid who calls out once a week, that's one thing. But if you have to fire the person who's there, you know, 50 hours a week for every single shift and willing to work overtime and do all the things that need to be done, then you've got to have a really good reason for that. And not getting vaccinated has never been that reason. I did have to wear a mask when all of that nonsense was going, and that was a difficult thing for me to do because...
For how long?
I think it lasted about 9 months.
Hmm.
It was all because of the Keene City mandate. And that was frustrating because there wasn't one in the state of New Hampshire, so I didn't have to wear one then. But it sucked, and I hated it because if you've ever worked in a kitchen, you know they're hot. And I think the only jobs that are really worse, just in terms of raw heat, there's obviously jobs that are worse, like working in sewage or whatever. But in terms of just raw heat, I think the only thing that's worse is loading tractor trailers or loading 18-wheelers at docks and stuff like that because there's no ventilation, there's no air conditioning, there's nothing, and you're out there working in the hot sun in 100-degree weather. I can imagine people died wearing masks during that nonsense.
Probably.
But anyway, so all of that has sort of passed, and it's lifted, and now we can talk about the reality that, you know, people just, they're not dying of COVID-19. I was recently watching something on Tubi, which is a nice little streaming service. I don't like it because there's no way to get rid of the advertisements. It's completely ad-supported. They're not targeted ads, which is also nice. Or maybe Tubi just doesn't know anything about me because I'm pretty good at keeping web trackers from learning about me. But regardless, Tubi has to serve you ads. And one of these ads was, you know, if you, even if you're vaccinated, you can still get COVID-19. And then you can take this pill to decrease your chances of getting badly sick or something like that. I don't know exactly how it worded it, but that was...
They came out with a pill. No one ever talks about the pill.
Paxlovid, yeah, I think is his name. Yeah. Why do we need a pill here for a cold, right? It's silly. It's not this.
And it's also like just an admission that the shot didn't work.
That's also a really good point.
That's probably why they are only now comfortable with even like putting it in an ad, because I seriously never saw an ad that mentioned Paxlovid. I mean, it's like in the middle of trying to get people, like convince people to take the shot at all. It was probably, you know, something they didn't want to bring up. Like, there's also a pill.
Yeah, because then, I mean, why get the shot if you could just take the pill, right?
Yeah, especially for people like who are afraid of shots or...
Well, all of that fear-mongering has sort of gone away, and now we're allowed to point out the reality that, yeah, people aren't dropping dead in the streets in any direction, which is nice. People aren't dropping dead of not being vaccinated of COVID-19, and they're not dropping dead of, what is the other one? Of
COVID
vaccine
itself.
Side effects, oh. Is what I meant. Well, COVID-19 would be for the people who aren't vaccinated, right? And those people aren't dropping dead, but that was the allegation, is that people were going to be dropping dead in the streets, and libertarians and conspiracy theorists made the same allegations about people who got the vaccines. Like, oh, I'm not getting that poison jabbed into me. Yeah, but on the whole, everyone seems to be pretty much okay.
I mean, there have been lots of people that have passed out and gotten heart attacks and stuff for no reason. I only know one young person that has died unexplained and was confirmed had a vaccine, but it's not like I'm saying I know proof that they died of the vaccine. It's just really weird. It's like young 21-year-old that was my little brother's friend that was in the Air Force just died in his room.
Ah, that sucks, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I fortunately don't know any young person who just died suddenly, and obviously correlation is not causation. I tend to think, it's my personal belief, that the COVID-19 vaccine caused the spontaneous deaths. I don't know that. I have no way of demonstrating that. I don't even have evidence to support that. But that's my experience, and that's my personal belief. Maybe I'm wrong. 603-283-6160 if you disagree. Let's go to the phones, though. We've got David on the line from Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hello.
What's on your mind tonight?
Ian last night, and you guys were talking about the decentralized exchange BISC, and I think he said something to the effect of he didn't understand how it worked, and he might have been afraid of it.
That's BISC, B-I-S-K, and I don't want to put words in his mouth because I don't remember exactly what he said last night, but he certainly wasn't afraid of it, but he suggested, if I'm recalling correctly, that it was ripe for abuse by scammers because there was no... what is the word I'm looking for? Where you set money aside, there was no escrow system to prove that a seller had the Bitcoin that they were trying to sell.
Yep, and it's BISQ, BISC.
Right.
Q is in Queen.
Right.
But I did actually do some reading, and I figured out how it worked. And it does have an escrow system.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, none of us use the exchange.
This is the first time I've heard of it. I didn't listen to the show last night.
Yeah, Ian and I are both, you know, prohibited from using any of these exchanges. So, I mean, we can't even touch cryptocurrency, much less, you know, exchange it for dollars or exchange it for other cryptocurrencies. Can't even use the stuff. So it's a meaningless conversation to us.
Well, is there a way for you to let the listeners know, like, how to know that there is escrow? Maybe if that concerned people and it's not true?
If you look at the BISC wiki page, they talk about it, and if you'd like, I can give you a very quick rundown of how it works.
If it's not overly technical, I don't necessarily object to it, but I don't see much value in it either. Like you said, people can just go to their wiki and read about how it works. It's not obvious from a glance, evidently, based on Ian's using it years ago, that there was an escrow system. Of course, maybe it's changed.
Yeah,
that
maybe
was.
They implemented it since, I don't know.
Yeah, and that was absolutely years ago. I mean, Ian and I were arrested coming up. It's just 2 weeks shy, a little over 2 weeks shy of 2 years ago. So we're 2 years out of date on the cryptocurrency technology. And that sucks. Like Terra, we discussed Terra last night, which was a U.S. dollar tether. It rose and fall. It was conceived, it built up this wondrous empire, and it died all during my bail conditions.
Well,
right? All I could do was watch from the sidelines and not participate and just watch as this thing went up and then crashed and burned. And it's, there have been so many technologies, because the cryptocurrency world, like all technology, is very fast moving, rapidly evolving. And in the 2 years that, you know, I've been out of it, I can only imagine how much the technology has changed. My big concern is that when I am allowed to get back into cryptocurrency, you might be thinking my concern would be that I wouldn't understand it anymore, that I'd be too far behind and have to be, I would be out of date. No, my actual concern is that cryptocurrency itself, the using of it, the methodologies of it, hasn't changed at all in 2 years. I suspect that it's still using exactly the same clunky, unuser-friendly interfaces where you have to pull up a QR code and scan it and swipe over to send and enter pins and passwords and all this other stuff. And not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but it's not as easy as swiping a debit card. And that's what cryptocurrency has to be going for, is more ease of use, more user-friendliness. And I don't think it's doing anything to do that. I could be wrong. I'm 2 years out of date. But I suspect that the actual use of cryptocurrency has not changed.
I'm just afraid that they're going to go after the credit cards that it's not, you know, full, you know, pure like Chris Wade would want, but things like Uphold and Crypto.com's credit card, or they're not credit cards, they're more like debit cards. I'm afraid that the government's going to start going after those, because that's basically the best thing I can think of as far as what you're talking about, or like, you know, buying the gift cards on like BitRefill is actually a little complicated. It's not for me, but like if I was trying to explain it to my grandma, it would be complicated.
That was sort of my experience with the Lightning Network years ago when I first learned about it. Chris Reitman, who used to be on the show on Thursdays nights, actually suggested that he pointed out that Domino's had, you know, if you go to pizza.lightning or lightning.pizza or I don't know, some weird Lightning Pizza URL, you could buy Domino's pizza using Bitcoin. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, because there's no intermediary there. Like, that's just me going to a website and ordering Domino's with Bitcoin. That's not buying a Domino's gift card from, you know, giftcards.bitcoin.com or whatever. That's using it directly. But I had to set up a Lightning connection, and it was clunky, it was awful, and it was not good. And then you were limited so severely in what you could get. You could only order two medium pizzas, and they had to be up to two toppings, nothing more. You couldn't pay more to get additional toppings. And the entire thing, it turned out, was back-ended by a credit card, or I mean, a gift card anyway.
So it wasn't actually like Domino's decision or anything?
No, and I knew that it wasn't, but I was shocked by how limited it was. It was just buying a Bitcoin.com gift card for Domino's with a bunch of extra steps involved. But ultimately, that was all it did. And then I couldn't even control the amount of the tip because it was all pre-programmed. Like, it had to be exactly $18.75 or whatever, and that was the reason for all the restrictions. You also couldn't get a pan pizza because that was additional. You couldn't add extra cheese to it for 50 cents or whatever. Just very clunky, not very user-friendly. And I don't think the Lightning Network has changed at all in that regard. Of course, that was five-ish years ago, maybe 4 years ago. But my gut tells me that cryptocurrency hasn't changed either, and that it's not even working toward that goal. It doesn't even perceive it as being a problem.
Sometimes I think about the things like some people we know coming up with like new, like really out there crypto ideas. Like, we need to have, you know, just really, I don't want to name anything because I'm not trying to insult people, but it's just like, we need to have this thing that's like so out there and it's really hard to explain. Every time we talk about it, we got to really explain what it even is, when nobody is working on like a new AnyPay. And it's like, that's so ridiculous. Like, there needs to be more using crypto. I think it's just that most people in the space who have, you know, technical, you know, they have businesses and stuff, they're using it as digital gold, like money go up or a number go up type thing, and more people aren't like us who just want to see it be used as peer-to-peer cash.
Excellent points. David, did you have anything more you wanted to add about BISC?
Nope, that was it. Just the fact that people should be using these decentralized exchanges, because they are going to come for the Coinbases and they are going to come for the Krakens. And you don't need to give them that information anyway. That's personally identifiable information. that they don't need to have because they can be hacked and they can be coerced by the government into giving it up. So don't give it to them to begin with.
See, I'm not convinced that they're going to go after Coinbase. They obviously went after Kraken. They told Kraken that they had to pay $30 million and stop their staking process. But that was the extent of what they did when they, quote, went after Kraken.
Well, even if they don't, like, take them down, if they become the only option, I mean, that's a huge problem, which I know you know.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that everyone is going to get sort of funneled into 1 to 5 different cryptocurrency exchanges that are, quote, authorized by the government, and that will turn over all of your information, everything about you, everything you've ever touched over to the government, and you have no other way of getting it outside of that. And that's why I think these decentralized exchanges are so important. So I absolutely agree with you on that, David. And thank you so much for the call tonight. I just don't see it likely that they're going to go after Coinbase. Like a year or two ago, maybe 3 years ago, I don't remember my entire timeline for the last 5 years is pretty screwed up, but the last 2 years in particular has been really, really hazy. But we talked about it at one point where Coinbase sent a bunch of lobbyists to Washington, D.C. to, you know, lobby politicians. And they ended up meeting with everyone, quote, everyone. I don't remember exactly who all they met with, but the SEC would not meet with them. And I'm starting to think, based on these actions undertaken by the SEC, and how Coinbase is one of the, quote, authorized custodians of people's cryptocurrency already before they were even required to be, I'm starting to think that maybe Coinbase did meet with the SEC or someone in the SEC, or they have a buddy in the SEC, and they're the ones who are ultimately orchestrating this, what it was, Operation Choke Point 2, which is choking everyone into Coinbase, effectively. Because Coinbase benefits from this. Coinbase benefits from the SEC ruling that all cryptocurrency exchanges have to be, quote, licensed custodians or authorized custodians or whatever terminology it was that they used. It's something like that. You have to have a sheet of paper from the government giving you the authority to hold people's money for them. And that hasn't applied to cryptocurrency prior to this new SEC ruling that presumably is going to go into effect at some point in the near future. Prior to that, it didn't really matter. Coinbase, however, they took the initiative because Coinbase loves the government. They've always been clear about loving the government. Coinbase took the initiative and they filled out the paperwork and they paid the money and they got this license before it was even required. And now that they, quote, failed to meet with the SEC, now that requirement actually exists. And Coinbase is already ahead of the game. Isn't that neat? They're such good little government serfs that they beat the government to putting the leash on themselves. Let's keep going with the phones. However, we have Alu on the line from here in New Hampshire. Alu from LibertyBlock.org, I believe it is. Is that right, Alu?
.com.
I'm sorry?
LibertyBlock.com.
.com. LibertyBlock.com. Thank
There's
you much.
No
What's
on
your...
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, no the. Just,
okay.
Just LibertyBlock.com. Yeah, thanks. So I heard the show, I think, last night about Senate Bill 246. That would restrict the mugshots, and I was invited to call in. Now, I updated the article admitting that I was wrong, which does happen once every century, and I did not really think or didn't strongly consider the free speech First Amendment implications of the bill. And then I watched a hearing recently of the bill, and a lobbyist, I believe, from the New Hampshire Press Association or something, did hit them pretty hard, and he did really well to challenge the bill's constitutionality based on free speech and media. Obviously, Ian Freeman and me, to a bit lesser extent, is big in media, so he sees that issue, whereas I'm also big in due process, and I see the issue of due process. Pretty much for the background, this is a state bill that would restrict mugshots from being released because it could harm people who are not yet convicted, which I wrote about in my book, Presumed Guilty,
right.
Which Bonnie's very familiar with now. Now,
I actually read that part last, yeah.
Yeah. So my big issue is that last night Aria said that people, you know, everyone you know has been arrested, so it's not a big deal because it's so common. Aria, for those of us who are not super activists, we do civil disobedience, we don't get arrested much, and some people, for better or for worse, still consider it a really negative thing. And, you know, it's hard to get jobs and dates and everything if you have a mugshot anywhere. So,
and what sucks is, like, it's not just being arrested. Like, there's a guy in Alu's book, Presumed Guilty, that he... had his mugshot plastered all over the town by cops saying he is a wanted thief.
Alleged thief.
Yeah. Yep. And, after he got proven not to be a thief, the Supreme Court heard his thing and they said, no, it doesn't matter. The cops can do that. Like, that's crazy. He was not even, he was presumed guilty and it actually harmed his reputation in town and, like, made him lose a job.
Excellent points.
Yeah,
and
I don't know what to do.
You're absolutely right. I want to concede that real quick because you're absolutely right. As I said at the beginning of this show, my life is kind of weird. So I don't tend to surround myself with people who haven't been arrested. Just that, that the type of person I gravitate toward is going to be sort of a rebel. Maybe they're not a libertarian, but they're still the type of person who's probably been arrested at some point for contempt of court or failure to appear or failure to pay or whatever. So, yeah, it's important for me to keep that in mind, and I certainly did not keep that in mind last night. Like, it wouldn't be a big deal for me to have my mugshot in the paper, and none of my friends would care about their mugshots being in the paper. They would probably put it on their wall, right?
Well, when it happened to Joa, he didn't really care much, but then his mom called him and was like, you're embarrassing me. Like, it even affects, you know, your family sometimes. I mean, to me, it's
but
so
that's
silly.
What he does for a living. Joa, like, literally gets arrested for a living. And,
right.
You know, makes a living doing that stuff, which is fine. But, again, someone like me, who I'm a voluntarist, but I can't afford to be arrested because I might lose my job and never get another EMS job again. But, again, another big issue is just that a lot of people don't read Presumed Guilty. They haven't read it yet, and they don't understand that charged and convicted are different things. They really don't. They think if you've been arrested, like when I was a baby, I thought if you've been arrested, it means you're a criminal. I didn't really understand the nuance, if you want to call it that, of due process.
Yeah, one of the most frustrating things after the, you know, raid on the Crypto 6 was everyone asked me, well, what did you do? Well, what do you mean, what did I do? Mm-hmm. I woke up and got arrested. That's what I did. But they always ask that question, oh, the FBI arrested you? What did you do? I didn't do anything. We have this thing called due process and trials and stuff. Ask me after the trial, or in my case, after the guilty plea, what I did. But until then, presume me innocent the way that you're supposed to. And people don't do that. If you get arrested, as you said, you're presumed guilty. You did something. What did you do to deserve this? It's a sick mentality.
Yeah, and with the mugshots, I think there have been studies about like mugshots and about people who appear as a defendant in a criminal trial in the orange jumpsuit and handcuffs, and even though they're being held in jail pre-trial, the jury's more likely to convict them because they see them as a criminal. So there's that element of being seen in a criminal environment in the mugshot as well that can encourage people to view that way.
That's tragic. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Alu. Definitely an expert on the subjects of due process. I recently learned about a thing called the hungry judge effect, and I don't remember how I ended up learning about it, and it's been somewhat discredited, but it's still interesting, and it's something to consider, where judges seem to be less willing to grant, what is it when they release you from prison early, parole, if they are hungry. And if you get them right after a meal, they're more likely to be lenient. But it's been somewhat discredited, so take that for what it's worth. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on due process, coming up, what the hell is wokeism? It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump made a trip to East Palestine, Ohio today, the site of this month's toxic train derailment.
We pray for you and we will stay with you in your fight to help answer and the accountability that you deserve.
Trump called out the Biden administration for its handling of the crash. He said residents need answers and results, and Norfolk Southern needs to fulfill its obligations to the community. The special counsel overseeing a criminal investigation of former President Trump is issuing subpoenas to Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner. The New York Times reporting special counsel Jack Smith subpoenaed the two as part of his investigation into Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. China's President Xi planning to visit Moscow this summer, fueling concerns by the U.S. that China is providing help to Russia in its war with Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin made the announcement about the summer summit during a meeting with China's top diplomat. John Schaefer, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you. Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Bonnie.
And we are going to be talking about COVID immunity, the COVID-19 vaccine, and how things have changed over the years, honestly, because they have. Suddenly you're allowed to actually talk about COVID-19, the vaccines, the possible side effects of the vaccines, and just the insanity of some of this in general. Like one of my coworkers recently, his father got COVID-19. His father's kind of elderly, like 60, 70 years old, right? Like, fairly old. This is the age at which you are at risk of dying from COVID-19, they say, right? And so much of this kid's behavior over the last 2 years was directed at, quote, keeping the family safe, right? Because they, you know, he had to take it seriously because his parents were at risk and his little sister was at risk or whatever, right? However, that hasn't been the case anymore. His dad got COVID-19, and as a result, this kid began wearing a mask everywhere, like to work where no one had COVID-19. And I pointed out to someone, like, this seems backwards to me, right? Like, he's wearing a mask in a place where no one has COVID.
Yeah, it's always seemed backwards to me.
And he's not transmitting COVID to anyone because he's paranoid. He's testing himself every day. We know he doesn't have COVID. And then it hit me. This kid is sitting there in his bedroom all night, every night, wearing a face mask. And I almost just cried.
Are you guessing?
He absolutely is. He has to be. Right? That's, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. Look, I know this person.
Mm.
I have absolutely no doubt that right now, I don't know where this person is right now, but let's say last night this person was at home and this person was 100% wearing a mask while sitting in their bedroom playing a video game.
That's terrible.
I'm confident of that. Isn't it? Isn't it that? And that's just the insane. And I pointed out.
Did their dad get over COVID?
He still got it, but yes, he's not going to die. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
As, you know, almost everyone is. And I remarked to a mutual coworker that I was like, doesn't this seem crazy to you that he's doing all of this for a disease that isn't killing anyone and that everyone in his household is vaccinated against? Are we at a point where we can talk about how completely freaking crazy all of this has been and how completely freaking crazy all of these pro-vaccine people have been about
this?
What
did the coworker say?
He was just like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Hmm.
But does he even grasp how crazy it really is?
Used to it or something?
These people derailed an entire economy for like 2 years. They locked people in their homes. They fired people. They cut ties with friends and families. They let people die alone. They ended family gatherings. They've stayed in their house with dance parties that were held digitally. And all in the name of this disease that they could get vaccinated against, and that even getting vaccinated against didn't seem to do a damn thing to keep them from dying of COVID-19 or even catching COVID-19. It seemed to do absolutely nothing. Have we reached a point where we can talk about how completely crazy what I just said is? And we're considered the weird ones for being like, guys, this is stupid. What you just did is stupid.
And it's like at the beginning, we were believing or saying this stuff anyway. But people at least could have said, well, we just don't know yet because of how long it's been. No, it's been long enough, and that's why just no one talks about it at all. It's like, I don't see tweets about, you know, wear your mask as much. There are some people, but it's like, so it's rare. It's not like the common mainstream thing. Everybody's like, be safe, wash your hands, be safe. You know?
It was a great big nothing burger, and instead of admitting that and saying, oh, guys, it turns out we overreacted and, you know, we were wrong. They just sort of let it fade into history. They just let it fade away. But those presidents are all still there. All of those people who were pro-lockdown, pro-mask wearing, pro-telling you how you have to present yourself to the world. And that, to me, as a trans person, is absolutely disgusting. I've spent most of my life having to wear a mask of one kind or another. And then COVID-19 happens, and the same people who are supposed to be my allies are demanding that I put on a mask to make themselves feel better? Are you kidding me? You might as well ask me to take off the makeup and to put on a pair of pants instead of a skirt because it makes you uncomfortable. I don't care what makes you uncomfortable. If it makes you uncomfortable, avoid me. But no, they don't care about any of that.
I feel the same way about them making us act like we're just dirty, disease-ridden rats or something. It's like, it's the same thing. It's like, just avoid me. Don't go in public. I'm going to keep going in public. I'm going to go into businesses I'm welcome in.
Yep.
But you should just not if you think I'm a dirty rat and everybody else.
It would be wonderful if people reacted that way. I remember during when it was still in China, when COVID-19 was still in China, there were rumors of these subway signs that said things like, everyone you see is a potential ghost lurking in the shadows waiting to kill you because they could be carrying this potentially deadly pathogen, right? And I thought then, you know, this is too horrifying to come to America. Americans are too pro-love and liberty for such a horrible mentality. No, almost overnight, Americans became exactly that, where everyone is a potential carrier. You're speaking of being presumed guilty, you're being presumed guilty of having this disease.
Good point.
Despite having absolutely no... They even invented a new term for people who were well.
Asymptomatic spreaders or something?
Yes.
Wow.
That's how crazy this whole thing got. They invented a new way of describing people who weren't effing sick. And that word was asymptomatic carriers. Oh! You mean well, not sick? It's all been completely insane, and at some point, human beings have got to have a reckoning on this subject because like 90-something percent of the society was proven to be either A, completely insane, or B, willing to just shut the hell up and go along with the insanity for the point of making things easier and for not standing out. Like, I went along with the insanity. I'm not saying I didn't. I put on the stupid mask. I did my job. I kept going to work. But everyone there knew that I thought the thing was stupid. And anyone else could have spoken up and said, you know what, Aria's right. This is pretty stupid. No one did. But anyone could have, because I kept pointing out that how stupid it was for all the logical and rational reasons you would expect, right? But
someone out there is probably thinking, yeah, but we didn't know. Imagine it was a deadly virus. Well, I would literally rather die than just shut the whole world down. I would literally also rather valid. Die than just not live at all.
But we can't live our lives according to unknown. That's exactly the point you're making, I think, is that we can't live our lives according to unknowns. No, we didn't know. We didn't know how bad COVID-19 would be. And I was right there with you watching these videos from Dr. Chen, who I've decided is probably a U.S. government employee. I don't know anymore. But at the time, he was leaking videos on Telegram that were supposedly pulled out of WeChat of Chinese people just dropping dead in the streets. Like, just walking and just, bam, dropping dead. Or just standing there and dropping dead. And I was like, man, this COVID-19 thing must be serious. And I thought it was serious. It also got Matt Roach, who does the show on Thursday nights now. It didn't get me as much as it did Roach, but it did get me. And I was like, man, this is serious. This is going to come here. But by the time it had gotten to the United States, I was already like, okay, yeah, no, this, there's nothing to this.
Right. But it got me like halfway to Roach. I wore like gloves and the grocery store gloves, my glasses and a mask. So it was like I had no senses to use. Oh my God, that's so, what a horrible feeling going into an extremely crowded grocery store because everybody was freaking out. And if I wore my glasses, they were fogged up. So I would just take them off. It's loud in there, and I don't have a sense of feeling. Like, it was just terrible. Anyways, that's just a side note, but I was doing stuff like that. I had a special stick, well, like an empty lip gloss in my car that I used to press the buttons in to get into my apartment.
Oh, wow.
Parking lot.
Yeah.
And I was always, like, telling my boyfriend at the time, like, wash your hands when you get home and stuff like that. Like, I don't want you to bring COVID home.
Well, that's because, good advice in general. I think people should wash their hands more frequently right. than they do.
But it was because I thought if we got COVID, we're going to die. But the main thing was I was afraid that it was, you know, put out by the government to kill a bunch of people. It's not like, I don't know.
Right.
I think that there's a difference. And I think that that's probably where Matt was coming from, too. Like, oh, the government's doing it. They're rolling out the disease is going to kill, you know, more than 50% of the population or whatever. It's different than just being afraid of having a cold.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Let's go to the phones. We have Ricky on the line from the state of Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
That would be the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania.
If you say so. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, one night I'm going to talk to you personally because I think you'd be the one to talk about, and I'll explain where there's a difference, and it's very important. But what it comes down to, it's on my mind, I think, couldn't be more on topic, and I thought about it before I called in. Crazy Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, U.S. Congressman from Georgia, the news today. Now, here's how I see this. Now, she is crazy. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with who she is, right?
No, and I don't care who these politicians are.
I know she's at least a little crazy because she was the one that proposed the ban on drag shows in general in Texas. She's Texan, right?
Yes.
What'd you say her name was?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, I've heard this name before. Yeah, super transphobic.
Yeah. Okay, you know who she is. Now, here's what it comes down to.
But I don't know who she is. I know a thing about. I know a thing that I've heard about her.
I don't know a lot about her, but she's crazy from what I've seen. But I think what...
Good enough.
What Ricky's going to bring up, I'm afraid it might be something that we actually agree with Marjorie on. But go ahead, Ricky.
Oh, boy, do we ever. But you know what? We agree, but we disagree. And that's where Marjorie Taylor Greene's a problem.
Is this on secession?
Well, you could say that, but here's why. I'm very big on secession. I have been
years. I only asked because I saw an article today, and I don't remember who it was about, but some politician had a history of supporting the idea of secession, was the gist of it.
She, like, just came out about it.
It was her?
Well, she, like, just came out about it.
Yeah, she did. Here's what it comes down to. I'll fill you in.
Well, I just want to know, is that the person we're talking about, the one who came out? Okay.
She came out today, but she doesn't have a history with it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, what it comes down to is here's her concept. And I think this is right on topic. she's come to the conclusion, and it's scary because she's a very powerful person now in the House of Representatives, unfortunately. She's one of the most powerful people in there at this point, and it's horrifying. Her idea is this. She says that what we need to do, now I take this as at the federal level she's looking at, is what she wants to do is separate, quote, the blue states from, quote, the red states. And the reason why is...
I mean, that sounds like a great idea. If anything, the American experiment has...
But here's the problem. I'm going to get to that.
Well, can we, before we get into the problem, can we talk about why it's a great idea? Or do you just want to have a monologue here and interrupt us every time we try to respond to something you say?
What she's doing is not a, what she's doing is not a great idea. I'm totally against it.
No, what she said is a great idea, separating the red states and the blue states and letting them each go their own separate ways. You take your half of the country, we'll take our half of the country, and we won't try to meet in the middle. We won't try to compromise because the system that we've had in place.
That's not what she's saying.
Well, that's what you characterized her position as, saying that we needed to separate the red states and the blue states.
Well, here's the problem. The reason why she's doing this...
Is that what she's trying to do or not?
Yes, but here's the reason why. Because she wants to stop wokeness. Now, what is wokeness? I will tell you. And I have a big problem...
Can you tell me what wokeness is? Because I have I have several pieces about wokeness tonight that we're going to get into. I'm not convinced anyone out there can explain what the hell wokeness is supposed to be.
Convinced that it's a good enough reason to be against her idea of secession. Because I have been saying for a long time that it's cringe to act like the federal government is just going to separate us based on red and blue states. Because it's just like, I don't want to be separated based on red and blue. There's, lots of in-betweens, for one thing, sorry. And if the federal government tries to get, we're down with secession, we're just going to split us up into two, I can see that going the wrong way. So that's kind of what I thought you were going to say, something like that. Because I didn't read her whole post. But if it's just about escaping wokeism, maybe she should just be allowed to escape wokeism, however she sees it.
Here's what it comes down to. Wokeism comes down to this. This is something that comes from the extreme right. And what wokeism comes from the term the awakening. The awakening is something that people have, whether it be with or without the help of psychedelics, where they delve into the subconscious, and as a result, they get the big answers to life. Like in my case, it happened when I was 23 years old. I came to the conclusions people usually come to when they're in their 50s.
I get that, Ricky, but let me interject
I know, but I'm trying to talk about wokeism.
Okay, well, no one else in the United States refers to psychedelics or a history of psychedelics or awakening. Well, they do sort of talk about awakening because that's what wake means, and woke is the past tense of wake. But no one else is talking about psychedelics or spiritual awakenings or grander understandings of the universe and their place in reality when they talk about wokeism in any sort of political context. So you can have your own special definition of it, but no one else is using it that way.
If you give me a chance, I will tell you. What wokeism comes down to these people... is they look at first anybody.
Who's these people?
These are the people that are on the hard right.
Okay. I'm just asking you to be specific about whose definition of wokeness you're defining.
Right. Here's what these people that say this believe in. First of all, here's the list. If you're not Christian, if you're not Christian, you're part of woke. That includes atheists, agnostics, so on and so forth, Jews. But then on top of that, if you're transgender, that's another one. Now, I don't have an issue with that. It's called individual freedom. That's part of waking up.
No, man.
Is that so bad?
Being trans does not automatically get you into the woke club. They don't have any love for me at all. And who's the other one? Blair White? They don't have any love for Blair White either. So, no, being trans is not enough.
If you're liberal.
I think what he's saying is that the right wingers will consider you woke no matter what because you're trans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But that's just a
prejudice, right?
It is. They have a long list of things. And the problem with these Republicans these days is their answer is they're telling everybody, this is what we think people should be, and this is good. Christian value, so on and so forth.
Okay, so we have this category of people that we're considering woke, you know, LGBTQ people, people who aren't Christians. That's all great. But what
is another problem? You can't change that.
Fine. But what is woke? What is the thing that binds them all together? That's what I'm asking you to define.
The other problem with his definition is, like, he's saying what right-wingers call woke people, but he's skipping over the fact that there are left-wingers that call themselves woke.
I don't personally do that, but in their eyes, waking up in any sense, in any way, compared to these things, which are all this mentality and different stuff, if you wake up in any kind of way to any kind of these conclusions, and that includes they look at reading material that may be subversive or so on and so forth, if you read that, oh, you could be woke. You know,
if you read, you're being extremely vague, and that's the issue that I have with wokeism ideology in the first place, is that no one wants to actually specify what it is and what it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to mean. You can tell me all day long that these categories of people, they count as woke. The Republicans say that LGBTQ people are woke, right? But that doesn't tell me what woke means. It just tells me what type of...
Anybody that's all these things, or maybe more of them. And in my case,
okay, I'm not asking you to define the category of people considered woke. I'm asking you to tell me what is woke.
Well, can we back up a little bit? Because I do have...
Anybody that needs...
He's on hold. Because he won't let anyone else speak.
Well, I have what Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted today. One of our producers wants me to read it. We need a national divorce. And it's exactly... I read the whole thing, but it's actually bad in the way I was describing in this next sentence. We need to separate by red and blue states and shrink the federal government. No, we need to get rid of it. We need to not have it anymore. That would be divorcing from the union. Everyone divorcing from the union, the federal government. Oh, we're not needed anymore and disappearing. Separate. Now we have two countries. I definitely don't want to be a part of a country that's all red states, even more than I want. Because
I agree with you on that.
The standstill happens and nothing gets done with red and blue. You know.
I agree, and I don't agree because I feel like it could be fine. Like New Hampshire seceding would create a new country, right? And it would split us all from the red and the blue states, and we'd be presumably this yellow state. And it would, by definition, weaken the power of the federal government. So I'm sort of okay with that. I think I agree with the gist of what she's saying. I would like it to go further. Like if she was to come out and say, we need to reduce all taxes to 1%. Like I would agree with what she said, even though I'd be like, well, we need to actually reduce it to 0%. That's where I feel...
It's just the beginning of the watering down of the national divorce conversation, because it's been trending a lot and people are talking about it a lot, but a big politician like this hasn't really said anything. And of course the first thing that comes out is just a little bit subverting what it's actually about. Like if we separated by red and blue states, there would be no point in having a federal government. If every state separated is what I meant, into their own country, there'd be no point in having the federal government.
So not all these states want to secede. And if, you know, if California and Ohio and whatever states want to get together and form a more perfect union, I don't have any issue with that. Let them do their thing.
I agree with that, but that's not what she's saying. Separate by red and blue states and shrink the federal government. Oh, we're
right,
just going to shrink
which
it.
Which we would do, by definition, if all the liberal states were like, you know what, we're sick of this thing, we're forming our own government, or if all the conservative states did it. It would just, by definition, split the thing in two. I feel like you're being overly harsh to her.
I'm not trying to be harsh to her because I just don't like her or something. It's just that I know she's a government scumbag, probably a liar, probably a murderer, definitely a thief, and I can see that this is watering down the message. This is not national divorce. We need to cut ourselves into two countries. It's not the same thing as national divorce.
Well, if New Hampshire left the United States, it would be cutting ourselves into two countries.
We wouldn't be a part of the federal government.
Neither would the other half of whatever country. If you split it in two, then one half is not part of the federal government anymore. They have their own government now.
Then why would she say shrink the federal government? See,
because
that's
there
where
would still
she's
be a federal government, like if New Hampshire
the
seceded.
The federal government? No, there would just be new federal governments if there were alliances. It wouldn't be shrinking it.
But it would, because it wouldn't have the power of New Hampshire in it.
If that doesn't That doesn't shrink the federal government. If we just left the federal government, nothing would happen to it. They wouldn't get our representatives and money, if that's what you mean.
No, it limits the power that they have to wield over people because
but
they no longer wield it over us.
But that's not even what she's
us.
Saying. She's not talking about one state leaving. She's talking about separating altogether.
Right, she's talking about many states leaving.
In which case, there doesn't need to be a federal government. And if she wants there to be two states, one red, one blue, I'm against that before just staying in the union.
I think I do have to agree with you on that, just based on, I mean...
Imagine just being, oh, now instead we're just with Indiana, Oklahoma, Alabama,
yeah.
Mississippi, probably Florida, Texas. Like, no, I would rather there be a check on those types of places.
Yeah, I agree. If there was a straight-up divorce in that sense where, like, every state was blue and every state was red and you had to choose a side, I would have to move to a blue state. Because, I mean, honestly, God only knows what you crazy conservatives would want to do with me if there weren't any restrictions on your power whatsoever.
Even in New Hampshire, which is like a purple state, there's a bill this year that would make it to where the government has the right, the government of New Hampshire, not the federal, has the right to say which prison you go into. And there are free staters I know that are like, yep, sounds right to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting how divided and silly people get over this. The one that comes to mind for me is the conversion therapy bill that was proposed last legislative session, which obviously it got struck down. But, like, if there were just Republicans there, then the chances of this bill that authorizes conversion therapy, torturing people until they're not gay anymore or until they kill themselves, which is realistically what usually results as a result of conversion therapy, then they have that much higher chance of getting that nonsense passed. And the blue states would be passing their own opposite versions of this nonsense. It's not a good idea, certainly.
It would be bad either way. That's why I don't think that New Hampshire should join with any other state if we secede.
The least evil solution I've seen for joining with other states would be like having this northeastern state or the state of New England, so to speak. But even that isn't ideal, where it's like Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, etc. But even that's not ideal. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.